Father, fill your people with strength and courage that we may be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that we'd be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that we would put on the whole armor of God, that we'd be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, we can stand with our loins girt about with truth. We have on the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation. We take the sword of the Spirit, and we have the shield of faith, wherewith we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked are quenched, are put out. The fire is out, and now the joy is in the house. Father, we thank you that there's joy in your presence in the house. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is here today. We thank you for your presence, your goodness, your manifestation, and a touch from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. And anyone who agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Say, smile at someone and say hello. My wife is making the adjustments here. Thank you, ma'am. Do we have anybody moving this podium today? I guess I will do it. No big deal. Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. I am Pastor Steve Oleksuk, and we are very honored to have you with us this morning. A really, 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 really unusual night for me last night. Anytime I wake up in the middle of the night and it's right on the dot, it was 3:00, and I woke up and I knew it was something special. I just didn't know what's so special, but I just knew it was special. So somebody say special.
Special.
Special. That was not a very strong special. Everybody say special.
Special.
Okay, that's better, but still. It's special, and so I'm still trying to figure it out. Normally, you know me, I've got a list of scriptures, and tick, 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 we go through, but today I just have to figure this out as I go, because I know something special is happening right now, and something good is about to happen. I'm not even sure where I'm going to start today, because I woke up and I looked at the clock. It's 3:00, and I went, "Whoa, that's something's going on here." And so I said, "Lord, what's up?" And I heard this as clear as could be: "That you may know." Well, that you may know what? That you may know. Okay. Hey, when God says something you don't understand, just say yes. Don't argue. I'm not going to say no. No, God. No, that you may know. Well, I know what Ephesians says, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. I know that you may know. And that you may know the word of God, that you may comprehend. Did I say a prayer? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that the entrance of your word gives us light, brings wisdom, brings understanding, brings us knowledge so that we can comprehend things from heaven, that we can comprehend what the Holy Spirit is saying, what the Holy Spirit is doing, what the Holy Spirit wants. We want to be led by the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God, the sons of God, the family of God. And so we thank you for your welcome here, Father, your presence, your goodness, your manifestation, your Son Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. Because when you've got a message that you spent, you know, the week working on, or, you know, several days putting pieces together of what you think God wants you to do, and then the night before church at 3 a.m., you wake up and it's just you that you may know. So I guess I may know and you may know. And something or someone needs to know something. And there are times when, you know, we're seeking God and we're, or maybe we're not seeking God, but we need to know. And God wants you to know. And God wants you to trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's an old song, to trust him and to seek him. So my objective then, when I get something like this, when I don't have a specific answer to what is going on here, then I'm just going to trust him as he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I will surrender, I will yield, I will listen, I will pay attention, and I will obey him. I will obey him, and that's what I'm really trying to do right now, is to figure out where I'm going. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians 1, 18, I've got this big Bible today. I brought this yesterday. We had a class yesterday here at church, and this is the word from 26 different versions of the Bible. And so I love it because it has, you know, it just gives you flavor upon flavor. Sometimes, you know, if you read the King James or the New King James, you go, what is God trying to get across to us? So then you go over here to this Bible. Not every verse has all these 26 versions of it, but it just tries to amplify and show you things that in a Bibles that you may have never seen or have never considered before. And there's some really eye-opening things that you can see. But in the book of Job, in chapter 33, and starting at verse 14, this is what the book of Job says. For God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. God may talk to us how he talks to us, and we're oblivious because sometimes we're in our brain. Somebody's going, well, we're always in our brain. Well, no, sometimes you want to be in your spirit. Sometimes you want to be in the spirit. And sometimes we're in the flesh. We don't want to be in the flesh. When you're in the flesh, you're not in the spirit. And when you're in the brain, you're usually leaning to your own understanding. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. That means don't always trust your brain. Sometimes you're just going to have to stop and trust your heart, trust your spirit, trust. And in this case like this, where I what am I supposed to say, Lord? Trust your heart and just follow the lead, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be, somebody say it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. All right, amen. All right, so Job chapter 33, pardon me. All right, so 14 of Job 33, for God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. And so then with this several versions of the Bible, there are several here, it says, God speaks once, yes, twice, when one heeds it not. That's the American Baptist Publishing Service or whatever, ABPS. God speaks one way, then another, but no one notices. That's the Jerusalem Bible. God has one mode of speech, yes, and if man heeds it not, another. Moffat, that was Moffat translation. Indeed, once God has spoken, he does not speak a second time to confirm it, the New English Bible. Now, I don't agree with that one. You don't have to agree with everything that is written in these Bibles, because sometimes that I trust in another place that God says, God speaks once, yea, twice, but man perceives it not. So sometimes God has given you instruction. He'll instruct you, and I didn't hear that. Why? Because I'm not paying attention. I'm not in the spirit, or I'm not tuned, or whatever the reason may be. I'm just I'm overwhelmed with worry or fear or trauma or whatever's going on. So God speaks to me and I don't hear it. God speaks once, yea, twice, but man perceives it not. It's not God's fault that he's not communicating. God communicates. God will communicate with us. And we believe that God's primary way of communication is his Bible, is his word. And so we trust God's word to communicate to us, to get us to know the things that we need to know. And so I trust the Spirit of God to get to me and get to you what you need to know. But it isn't just God just going to drop things on you because that's what God does. No, hunger, and the Bible says that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So those that suggests to me in that area that when I'm hungry and when I'm thirsty for the things of God, that God will respond to me. God will respond to us, not when we're dry, not when we're lackadaisical, not when we don't really care. God doesn't respond to that. But when you seek him, when you pursue him, when you press towards the mark for the prize of that high calling of God, God will respond to you. So somebody's going, well, God doesn't respond to me. Have you pressed in? Have you sought God? Have you shut out? Have you shut out what you know God is telling you to shut out? Shutting out, you know, I mean, for some of us, you know, some of us just, we love sports galore. I watch every wild game that I can, right? A hockey game or you know, football, every football game I can watch or whatever it is that you love. And sometimes you got to shut some of that out in order to get away from that to hear God. And I just use sports because I relate to sports and a lot of you relate to sports. But whatever your influences and things that you love, maybe it's reading the newspaper or watching the news or pursuing the internet all the time. You're just always on the internet, always, you know. And sometimes you just got to shut that out to listen. So going back to this 3 o'clock thing, you know, I just knew when I woke up and I looked at my clock and it's 3 o'clock, 3:00. I went, something's up instantly. And then I got up and I knew that God is talking to me. And so now it's up to me. It's up to me to pursue, to seek, to listen, to watch. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. I'm going to watch and pray. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to listen. And I'm going to be sober and vigilant because my adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He said, resist him. Steadfast in faith. So I'm going to be doing what I know to do, expecting God to fill in the blank. God, you started it. I mean, it was a joy. It was just absolute joy last night at 3 a.m. I'm going, whoa, this is awesome, man. Oh man, now what? Right? I mean, you're going, this is a word from God, but what does it mean? Have you ever been there where you got a word from God, but you don't have a clue what it means? And so I'm just sharing it with you because my message that I had for today, how am I going to do the message I had for today when I spent half the night wondering what God's talking to me about? And so somebody in the room needs to know, somebody watching, welcome to those of you that are watching, somebody needs to know that it isn't just God drops knowledge just for the heck of it. No, God wants us to, again, hunger and thirst after righteousness, to seek first the kingdom of God, to pursue, to seek, to be diligent, to show some stick-to-itiveness. If something doesn't clarify, then I'll take this and I'll put it on the shelf, but I'll always have it in my mind that God was speaking to me about something and it will fit into what God has for me. And it'll mean something to someone. Maybe somebody will come along and help the explanation. It's like a riddle. It's like, you know, Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastes where Solomon has, you know, he says things. And later on down the road, as you ponder those things, all of a sudden the wisdom drops in and you'll go, oh, I get it now. So do I know where I'm going right now? No, I don't. I'm going to continue on, though. In verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 1, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Is that it? No. That you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power? No. Towards us who believe. Towards us who believe it. See, that you have this understanding, well, he's God, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power. Well, he's God. Period. Boom. That's all. No, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Then what? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That you may know the exceeding power of God, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. That's power. All power has been given unto me, saith the Lord, in heaven and in earth. All power. Some people shaking their boots going, oh my God, all this weird stuff going on in the world and all these countries and all these wars and all these ungodly things happening. Casting all our care on him, for he cares for us. We just roll it over on him and we keep trusting the Lord and walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And all of a sudden, God just drops into us the joy of the Lord, and he just drops into us understanding and wisdom, and we just move forward. We just move forward in our life. All the answers you don't accept Christ and all the answers appear, boom, they're all there. No, all of a sudden, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. How do you seek first his kingdom? Well, you're going to have to be a doer of the word. You're going to have to look in the Bible. You're going to have to read the Bible. You're going to have to study the Bible. Some people don't want to study the Bible. I'd rather watch TV, or I'd rather whatever your hobbies and joys and stuff are, but study the Bible. If you really need to know what your future holds, what God wants you to do, or what God has for you, or maybe you've got a sickness that they said is going to kill you. God's got an answer to that. The Bible says he took our infirmity, he bore our sickness, and by his stripes ye were healed. So I know what the answer to my problem is. If the doctor told me I've got something that can't be fixed, I just go, he took my infirmity, he bore my sickness, by his stripes I'm healed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hey, I win. I'm not going to lose. You know, some people go, well, who do you think you are? Well, it's better to believe God and be positive than to sit and fret and worry and fall apart and have nothing and just shrivel up and blow away. No, I'm gonna have the joy of the Lord. I'm going to believe. But going back here, I'm looking at, again, Job 33:14. And again, I've got this 26 versions here. It says, God speaks first one way, then another way. God has one mode of speech, yes, and if man heeds it not, he's got another from Moffat. Indeed, once God has spoken, I don't like the New English. Sometimes I didn't like it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in the slumbering upon the bed. That's why I was looking in this place, because I remembered it. And then it goes in 16, then he opens the ears of men. He opens the ears of men. Doesn't mean that our ears are clogged. It just means that we can all of a sudden hear things that we didn't hear. And a lot of times it means we understand things we did not understand before. When God opens the ears of men, it can be a spiritual thing where it's not necessarily, oh, I'm just not listening. I got my hands over my ears and I don't hear anything. No, but sometimes I'm going, Lord, what does this mean? And he opens our understanding and we hear what God is telling us. Then he makes secrets clear to men. Then that's the basic Bible English. Then it is he whispers in the ear of man, the Jerusalem Bible. He speaks words of revelation. That's from the Knox translation. And the Bible says he seals their instruction. He gives people instruction. He guides people. When people are listening, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us into all truth. But when we're listening, when we're seeking, God has not promised to lead us into all truth if we're not seeking, listening, or wanting to hear. A lot of times we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear what God wants to say. We don't hear what he wants us to do. But when we are seeking God, and there are many, many people, there's always different places where people are at and where they're seeking God. They're going, Lord, You know, what's going on here, or what do you want, or what are you telling me, or how'd this happen, or things like that, where we need to know what God is saying and what God is doing. Somebody say amen while I catch a breath. Hey, can I get a little bottle of water? Anybody that wants to go get it, please. Verse 16, it says, he opens the ears of men. He makes secrets clear to them, that he whispers in their ear. He speaks words of revelation. He affirms the warnings directed to them to teach them lessons they need and humbles them according to their rebelliousness. I don't like those ones where they're a little negative, but nevertheless, hey, sometimes we get corrected. Sometimes we need help and guidance from the Lord, obviously, in the correction area of our life. Correction, the Bible talks about correction's good for the humble. Amen. All right, so to teach the lesson we need and humble them according to their rebellion. And then the last one here, the Revised Standard says he terrifies them with warnings. Sometimes God wants us to hear a warning. And it starts out with a prompt. He just prompts us. There's no words, it's just a prompt that, hey, don't go that way, you know, and you're prompted. And sometimes we're just not paying attention. Thank you, Melissa. Sometimes we're just not listening. Sometimes we're not paying attention. And to teach them the lesson they need and humbles them according to their rebellious, it terrifies them with warnings from the Revised Standard. Going back to that idea is that sometimes when I'm not listening, God's trying to get something to me. And sometimes it's a warning. But last night, I know, because of the joy of the moment, the literal joy of the moment, that you open your eyes, and my clock is right there when I was laying just like this, and my clock's right there, it's 3:00, I went, wow, something good is happening. And then continuing on, so it was just the presence of God, the goodness of God, the favor of God, the will of God, the love of God, the love of God. That you may know the love of God that passes understanding. The peace that passes understanding. It was an alarm. There are times when, there are times where there's an alarm on the inside. Something's up. What do I need to do? Something's wrong. I need to pray. Seek first the kingdom of God. I need to do something. Then there are other times when joy comes and you're just absolutely on top of the world. You know that God is right there in your presence, and his goodness and his manifestation is in your midst. And it's one of the best things there are in our Christian life. Going on in 17 of chapter 33 of Job, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man, to turn him away from evil doing, to make an end of his pride. But I looked in here, actually going to 18, it says to keep back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So there are a lot of times where there are warnings. If you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can trust God that he'll give you warnings on the insides when something's wrong. And it'll be a disquiet. The psalmist said, why are you disquieted within me, O my soul? He's talking to himself. He said, why am I upset on the inside? Because something is wrong. The Spirit of God is grieved. God wants you to know something's not right. And it's a warning. Sometimes it's just a disquiet, and our life we can just press it and suppress it and press it down and just move on and roll right over it. Sometimes Christians live that way. People in the world, they don't hear that. But as Christians, sometimes we know something's up, but we just roll right over it and we move on. And unfortunately, when we do that, it bites because God was trying to get something to us, trying to help us, trying to warn us about something. So we want to heed the Spirit of God, each of us as children of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of every believer. And therefore, I can trust the truth of God's word that he's there and that he's prompting me. I'm learning to hear the prompts. I'm learning to understand a prompt. I'm learning to respond to prompts. Prompts are touches from God, just touching your spirit where you go, oh yeah, well, something just happened. Okay, what we do then, if you love God, and you really want to know God, and you're really seeking God, then you'll take a step back, and you'll examine yourself, and you go, Lord, what are you trying to get to me? And we need to be in the Word of God, because one of the most important ways that God talks to us is through the Word. And a lot of times, the supernatural power of God is that you could just open your Bible, boom, and there could be a message to you right there from your Bible to tell you something that you need to know. It isn't always that way. Sometimes it's not very often is it that way. If you're a person that doesn't open your Bible, if you never open your Bible, if you never read, whether you're online or open your Bible or looking wherever you go and you don't, how can God get that message to you? If he's prompting you, if he's going nudge, 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 and you're just rolling along. I'm just rolling, rolling, rolling. And I don't really hear the voice of God. I don't really pay attention to the Spirit. I'm a Christian, but, you know, I don't read my Bible. I don't give God any way to talk to me. Then I'll just roll in, roll in, roll in, and just roll right over whatever situation that he's trying to get me to understand. Something's up ahead. You need to pay attention. You need to yield or surrender or pay attention or stop. A lot of times, stop. That's loud and clear, but even sometimes we don't pay attention to the loud and clear warnings from the Holy Spirit. You see, we come back to everybody's on the same playing field here, that when you accept Christ as your Savior, the fruit of it is the Holy Spirit comes in to live in your life, in your heart. But now we have to learn to listen. We have to learn to discern. Discerning the Spirit. And when we read the Bible, when we study the Bible, when we go to church, when we sing and do these things, then it amplifies the voice of God in our heart. He gets louder and louder, and pretty soon we identify him without any difficulty at all. Pretty soon he doesn't talk, he just nudges. It's a nudge. Or you get a stop sign. Whoa, okay, I'm not going to do that. I got a stop sign. God leads us. They that are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Spirit. That's the objective of Christianity. The objective of Christianity isn't to, Lord, I believe you that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you come into my heart, be my Savior and Lord, and now I'm saved. Amen. That's truth. That's truth. But that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. The beginning of our walk in our path with God. It's a path to grow up into Christ in all things, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're increasing. We're growing up, and now we're becoming, I just heard this, turning our back on the world, turning our back on our old self, turning our back on the flesh, turning our back on carnality and the life. That life that you said, I can't live without this life. Yeah, now I'm called to live without that life. And that I can progress. I can make progress. I can go forward. I can win. I can win this battle. I can be victorious. I can put to death the flesh. I can put to death the old man. I can put to death the carnal appetite. I can put to death the way I used to be. We sing that song, not going back to the way I used to be. I can put it to death. I can move forward. I can press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, one person, for enjoying that part of the message. Amen. Hallelujah to you. Hallelujah to you, Father. Amen. All right. So I'm still trying to figure out that you may know. It was probably lasted half an hour, 45 minutes. I was smiling the whole time. Joy. It was fun. Going, yeah, God, that's so cool. What are you telling me? Didn't know. I don't know what he was saying. We don't always know what God is saying. All I know is that I had an experience with God at 3 on the dot. And I'm here to tell you about it. And I'm asking you to respond to that. How do I respond to that? I'm asking you to make yourself available to that. Make yourself available to what? That if God wanted to wake you up, maybe he was just amplifying joy in my life. I could accept that because it was very joyful. Happy, joyful, peaceful, presence of God, goodness of God, favor of God. All those things were right there in that moment or few minutes. I, rather than wake up my wife, I just got up, went in the bathroom, turned the light on, and went, wow, cool. What does it mean? I believe something good is about to happen to you and to me and to us. I could say something bad is going to happen to me, and something bad is going to happen to you, and something bad is going to happen to us. No way. No way. Something good is going to happen to me, and something good is going to happen to you, and something good is going to happen to us. And let's go forward and find out. Because God is a God of goodness. God is a good God. And we just trust him. And we love him. We love you, Lord. And we lift our hands. And we worship you because we love you, because you're a good God. There are a lot of question marks in our Christianity. Not everything, you know, as much as, you know, I love Bibles. I have as many as I find, or, you know, I collect them or whatever. And even though this says 26, very seldom do you get more than 4 or 5. A lot of times they all say the same thing, and that's why. But the point being is that I want to know what God is saying. So I spend a lot of time in Psalms and in Proverbs in the Old Testament. And then, of course, I spend my time in the New Testament in the writings and letters of Paul. And then, you know, just to find out what, I find out what God wants just by spending time with him and listening to his word and reading his word. And so the Bible says to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I'm seeking God, trusting him that these things are added unto me, the things I need to know. So again, I've got that question mark that I have on this is scribbled. This is just a bunch of scribbling from last night when I started writing about what happened to me. And I can't really explain any of it because it was one of those experiences, but it was a wonderful, wonderful experience that I had. And so in Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And it says in verse 18, or let's go back to verse 17. Let's go back to 16. Paul said this, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's talking about the people at the Ephesian church at Ephesus. And then he prays. He says, I pray that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you, Paul is praying that he give, and we take it for us, that he give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. All right? A spirit of wisdom and revelation. When you believe for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's taking a step up. Okay, right now in my Christianity, I'm at a level, right? But when I take this Ephesians prayer and I believe that there's a spirit of wisdom and revelation that's going to be imparted to me, I'm going to take a step up in understanding, in knowledge, in my expansion. Right now, I'm a human being, and God is God. He knows every single thing in the universe. He holds it all together. He's God. But I'm a human being. But when I believe that that he's going to increase me with a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that I'm going to understand something new about God. I'm going to grasp something new that I can expand my Christianity with. That he'll give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge him, that the eyes of my understanding. So it's not my physical eyesight would see differently. It would be that my understanding in my mind and my heart would be different, that I would know some things, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. Enlightenment means, you know what it means. It means that, yeah, I get it, okay? That the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling. And then it goes on to higher and higher and higher. I want us as individuals, that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because some of that stuff is way down the road for deeply, deeply mature Christians. And many of you are in here. You've been a Christian a long time and you've sought God and you want what God has for you and you're seeking and pursuing God. But that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you would increase in the understanding that he's God, that he's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, that these things would come to you and you'd go, oh, I'm expanding in my knowledge and understanding. It's revelation is, oh, yeah, I get it. Wow, there's a whole lot more to this than I thought. I thought you just pray and receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and I'm saved, and that's all there is to being a Christian, and that's it. No, there's a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in me. Say what? His inheritance? His inheritance is in me? What? How can the inheritance of all things be in me? You see, that's where your spirit comes in. See, the mind only expands as far as you take it, but the spirit is, it expands with God, and it's in the kingdom of God, and there's no limit to his spirit, and there's no limit to his kingdom. And now I'm in the kingdom, and that the eyes of my understanding are enlightened, that I know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, his inheritance. You know what they used to tell me? People used to say to me, and I loved them. They were good Christians, and I'd pray in their groups, and I, you know, we hung out. But they said, you're so heavenly-minded. And then you know the rest of it. They'd say, you're no earthly good. Well, I was still earthly good, but they didn't say that part. But they kept saying, well, you're just too out there too much all the time, out there in that heavenly realm, where I would meditate on promises and things like that. I mean, I'm different. I believed the Bible, and so now I'm thinking about the stuff that he's saying in the Bible. And so that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. The inheritance. Now, most people say, well, we inherit all things, and that, I don't dispute that. But I also think about the reward of service on earth. And if I do what I'm supposed to do on earth, there's a reward waiting for me. And if you do what you're supposed to do on earth, there's a reward waiting for you. And we could stand shoulder to shoulder and you never preach a word of the gospel in your life. You may share the word a lot. You may talk to God, people all the time. You may win people to the Lord. But you may never stand in the pulpit and preach in all your life, and yet you may stand shoulder to shoulder with me. Not that I'm going to get some big, maybe I'll stand shoulder, let me just put it this way, I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with you. You've done all these wonderful things for the kingdom of God, and you've served Christ with all your heart, and you've been faithful and diligent, and then you stand there for reward, and maybe if God sees that I qualified for the reward to stand shoulder to shoulder with you, praise God, and he rewards us. The Bible talks about rewards all the time. Dude, you're always thinking about rewards. It's a motivating factor. It's a motivating factor because this life is just it's a breath. It's just a feather. It's a drop in the bucket. A drop in the bucket. You got a water well of full water, and one drop, how much is one drop in comparison? What is one drop in comparison to the ocean? It's just a tiny speck. This life compared to eternity. And God tells us that that's one of the things we're here for, in preparation to rule and reign with him. Faithful Christians will rule and reign with him. Unfaithful Christians will look at the company they were in. This is your company right here. If this is your church, this is your company. And if you didn't pursue the things of God, if you didn't care and you didn't really look for what you're supposed to do and you just kind of went through life and you did your own thing, and you know, I'm saved, you know, Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, I pray the prayer when we prayed at the end, I sing the songs, and I come to church once in a while. God rewards faithfulness. God's calling us all to be unfaithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here's your reward. And that's not temporal. That's eternal. Eternal reward forever. Forever and ever and ever. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool if you're a servant. It's pretty cool if you love God. And you surrender to God, and you fight the good fight. Fight the good fight means I'm not going back to the way I used to be. No, ha! No, ha! Ha, ha, ha! What are you doing? I'm fighting my old self. I'm crucifying my flesh. Crucifying my flesh means, youch! Youch! My flesh wants to go back to the way it used to be. It's easier. It's funner. It's less. I don't have to be diligent. I don't have to be committed. I don't have to be faithful. That's the way the old world was, the old life was. Now I've turned the corner and I've made a commitment that I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to be diligent and I'm going to serve and I'm going to walk in the Spirit and I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to spend time in prayer and I'm going to be a doer of the word and I'm going to live my life for Christ to the best of my ability. And you stand before him and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then there's no comparing, because the reward will be exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. The power that works in us is the Word of God, the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the precious third person of the Holy Spirit. Number one, I should have put him first, the Holy Spirit in us, and the Word of God. That's why I want to feed on the Word of God. That's why I want my heart filled with the Word of God. I don't want my mind dominated with pornography and pornographic images and sexual perversions and just continual warfare. I want to go back. I want some more. Or, in, you know, maybe living that life. No, man. I've been bought with a price. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that's in me than He is in the world. We win. Somebody can win. Somebody wants to win. Somebody wants to fight. Somebody wants to turn their back. Somebody wants to go, no! No! I'm not going back. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm not going back. Can't have me. I am strengthened with might by His Spirit in my inner man. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have no idea. I have no idea. But it was just the presence was wonderful in the middle of the night. Just, wow, Lord, what does it mean? You know, I got a note here. It's my wife's note, but I'm gonna take it up. So I've said a lot, but I want to say this. I see this note here, and it's wonderful. Because in Ephesians 6:12, it says, put on the whole armor of God. And which one is the most important? Because I love the helmet of salvation. My brain needs help, okay? I've learned in my 35 to 40 years of Christianity, I know how now to control my mind. It took time. I didn't learn it when I first came into Christ. I came out of the world. I was just as dark as anybody else. But back 20, 30, 40 years ago, maybe longer, I learned how to put on the helmet of salvation. I learned how to have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I was learning how to have my loins girt about with truth. To put on, I said it already, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, to take the shield of faith, wherewith I'm able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Do I look like a coward? I don't care, because you know what? The enemy's throwing darts, and I'm just behind the shield. I'm blocking them. But as soon as he takes a break, I got the sword of the Spirit. And I pray. I pray with all prayer and supplication. I pray in the Spirit. And I watch thereunto with perseverance. And I fight. I'm a fighter. And I want to finish this by saying I'm a fighter. And back in the day, I won some, I lost some, but I won more than I lost. And now, I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to fight to stay out of the past. I'm willing to fight to control my mind. I'm willing to fight to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm willing to fight to bring into captivity every one of my thoughts to the obedience of Christ. I'm willing to fight. Coward is over. I rejoice that for some reason I've never been a coward. I mean, we've all wimped out at times, but generally, you know, even when they're twice my size, I said, "Come on, let's go." You know, I mean, not going to be a coward. I'm gonna stand my ground. And then I brought it into the spirit realm with it. When I came into Christianity, I knew I couldn't throw punches anymore, but I could throw some punches at the enemy, and I could stand up to him, and I could, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. I could fight. I still could fight. I could still fight. And I love to fight. I want to win every time. I hate being a loser. I hate getting walked on. I hate the enemy standing on me with his foot on me saying, "Ha, ha, ha, you chump, you lost again. You got your butt kicked again." You know what it is? It's sin. Sin is what causes you to get your butt kicked again. I said, "No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to fight. I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to fight with the sword of the Spirit, with the word of God, the shield of faith. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to live my life." I don't even know what time it is. What time is it? Thank you. Okay, 2 minutes. She's, my wife's funny, man. Two minutes. She wants to talk. Come on up.
The two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning. Very good. That's a football thing.
I know my football.
Mm-hmm.
I might not look it, but I do know my football. God wants us to know
the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that's named, and gave to him to be the head over the church.
And he also wants us to know that he's got a good plan for every single one of us, a plan to prosper us, plan Praise to God. Help us. In Jeremiah, the word shalom encompasses everything.
Shalom.
He's got a plan to heal us, deliver us, set us free in every area.
Prosper and be in health.
Even as our souls prosper. What do our souls need to prosper? In the word of God. You got to find those promises. You got to speak them out.
Exceeding great and precious
Take them
promises.
Off the page. Put them in your mouth.
Absolutely.
So you can hear them. So your faith can grow, so you can believe the promises and you can receive them and you can live in them. That's what the fight is.
That's what the fight is.
For see evil and hide. God wants to turn you around. He already did if you accepted Jesus. He turned you around. Leave the past in the past. And now do what he's called you to do and walk Amen. It out. Exactly. That's where the blessings are. That's where the peace is. That's where healing is. He sent his word.
And he healed us.
To heal us and to deliver us from every destruction. God doesn't want us living in destruction. He wants us to come out of destruction. He doesn't want us living bound. It's a message for now. That we would know the hope of his calling. It's a hope. It's not a drag. Why don't people sell out to God? Because they don't know the hope of his calling. They don't know how great it is when you walk in it. You look at your life and you think you're going to have to give up all this stuff. But once you know the hope of your calling, you don't want this stuff. You can't even believe that it took you so long to give it up because it's so
carnal
and not worth it.
Not worth
and
it.
And not fulfilling.
No.
It brings death. It brings destruction. It brings all sorts of crazy
misery
into your life. Misery. And he wants us to know it doesn't need to be that way. But you got to choose. Choose you this day who you will serve. You choose who you're going to serve. No one can make that choice for you. It's your choice. Are you going to serve God no matter what? I know when you got saved, it was pretty radical. When I got saved, it was pretty radical. I was like, okay, I can live without all this stuff, but I cannot live without Jesus in my life anymore. And you're pretty feisty. I'm pretty feisty. Somehow God put us together and we've managed to be 30, happy.
35 years, my dear.
Of not, yeah. That's pretty good when you can put two feisty people together. But we're not going to quit. And we don't want you to quit. Stand up for something. Dig your heels in. Don't let the devil push you around. Don't let the enemy push you around. Don't believe the lies.
Don't believe the lies. Wow.
We need to know the truth.
Absolutely.
Because the truth is what will set us free and keep us free. And when we know that truth, your life changes. The lives of people around you change. You may not be able to control people around you. That's called witchcraft. If you're trying to control people around you, that's not what God wants. I think most of us have exactly what we need just to control our own self, right? Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the Word of God. Serve Him with your whole heart. See where God's going to take you. It will be exceedingly abundantly far above all that you could ask or think. We have walked in it. We've lived it for a long time. A long time. God has always done exceedingly abundantly far above all that we ever thought or could believe. You just got to take that first step. Faith requires all of us to take the first step. Just like Pastor Steve got up at 3 o'clock. Do you know how hard it is for pastors to throw a message away that they spent an entire week on?
I had a message. I'm going to sit down, babe.
All right. Because most pastors, good pastors, they pray, they're seeking God, they're taking notes, they're writing things down, they're putting the message together. And God wakes you up at 3 o'clock and says that they may know. They may know what? That we would know. That we would know exactly what we need to know in this moment so that we can do exactly what we need to do in this moment. And that is different for every single one of us. But I know God. I know the Spirit of God. And I know that He talked to every single one of you. Did you hear? Did you hear what the Spirit of God was saying to you today? And if you walk out of here and you're not 100% sure, God, I want to hear what you're saying to me today. Let me hear it. Let me know what you want me to know today. And He will. Because He loves us. He's a good God. And He's got good things in store for us. And it has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on out there. You can prosper and you can be in health as your soul prospers. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you can prosper and be in health if the conditions of your society that you happen to be living in at the moment are favorable. In fact, God gets more of the glory when the conditions aren't favorable. And He wants the glory. He gets the glory. He wants the glory. And we give Him the glory. Amen. Amen. I do want to share one thing. I thought maybe you would share this testimony when you talked about the warnings. When you're living for God, if you are ever in a dangerous situation, sometimes you stumble into things and you don't realize it. And all of a sudden, God has a warning. About 3 or 4 years ago, Pastor Steve was keeping his boat in his mom's garage. And He had to go pick it up and take it to get serviced, and he was in a hurry, and it was like a day kind of like this, little drizzly, different things, and his mom, precious mom, she's in heaven now, but she was talking to him, and it was kind of rainy out, and he had this appointment that he had to get to, blah, blah, whatever, so he was busy, and he didn't do his normal checklist. He's had a boat since before I met him. So there is a proper way to put your boat on the hitch, you go through the checklist, you do the safety chain, you put the pin in, the whole thing. And he missed his checklist. And somehow he managed to get out on the freeway with the boat not properly hooked up behind his truck. And all of a sudden he got out on 694 and he heard this loud voice, "Stop!" And he pulled over. He forgot to put the pin in the hitch and he did not have the safety chain. And if you knew the route out of his mom's driveway around the corner and kind of up this hill to get on 65 Central Avenue, and I mean, kind of bumpy and whatever, how he even got onto the freeway without losing the boat was a miracle in itself. So there are times when you are living, you are doing everything you know to do, and you're just distracted. Something happens, right? Those are the times when you need that relationship with the Holy Spirit. He will help you. He'll help you when you need it. But we don't want to put ourselves in foolish situations on purpose just to test God. Do you know that that's one of the things that the devil tried to get Jesus to do? We don't be on the wrong side. We want to stay on the right side. But I just wanted to assure you that if you need a warning, God will get the warning to you. And when he does, heed it immediately, whether it makes sense to you or not. Normally, you would not pull over on 694, not where the Holy Spirit yelled at him or, you know, very loudly said, "Stop." That is not a place where you would stop. But thank goodness he did. Because I'm not even sure we would be in this room had that boat come off the truck. Anyway, so we're going to receive communion this morning. Do you want to come back up? And I just want to highlight something. We have time. We're not, we've got a little bit of time here, so we're not going to be in a hurry. But 1 Corinthians 12:27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Now, I know different Bible teachers and commentaries take different views of this. I'm very thankful for my mom, who's been a Christian since she was 3 years old. She remembers. And she always taught me and my sisters that when you take communion, before you do, you just quiet yourself and you ask the Lord, "Is there anything in me? Do I need to forgive anyone? Do I need to repent? Do I need to ask for forgiveness?" The blood of Jesus is cleansing us, and we have that forgiveness. But we want to examine ourselves.
You guys can go ahead and pass that out.
Yes, please. Thank you. We want to examine our heart before we just take communion. But then it says, "This reason is why many are weak and sick among you," not honoring the Lord's sacrifice. And if you've been dealing with some type of sickness or disease or something that's been lingering on, Jesus paid the price fully, fully, for you to be healed, for you to be delivered. And we want to honor that as we take communion this morning and thank him for the sacrifice that he paid on the cross. And so while they're passing those out, Father, thank you for the opportunity to humble ourselves this morning. Lord, we worship you and we honor you. God, I ask you to forgive me for the things that I've done that weren't fully pleasing to you. I thank you for that forgiveness. Father, I release those that have hurt me. I forgive. I put it behind me. I'm not going to let one thing stand in the way of my relationship with you. We honor the communion elements this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for us, each one of us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace that empowers us to live godly. Thank you for your mercy that's new every morning. Thank you that by your stripes, we were healed, past tense. Help us, Father. Enlighten us. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding that we would walk in healing, walk in deliverance, walk free from every chain. The chains are broken. We thank you, Lord. You already broke the chains. We just need to come out and act like it and walk like it. And we can, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. I think everybody's got
their... I think we're still waiting for a few. Elements. If you don't, will you raise your hand if you don't have your communion yet? Anyone else need to raise your hand? Back in the back, Trace. The scripture says that after he had given thanks, Jesus was always giving thanks. Praise God for Jesus, our Lord and the Savior. Father, we thank you today for communion. We thank you for this cup that represents the blood that was shed for the remission of our sin. And this wafer that represents your body, which was broken for us. We thank you for the celebration of communion this morning, for the saints of God that are with us, for the saints of God that are watching and at home who have a cup and a wafer in any way, shape, or form, but they're participating with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And when he had took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Lord, we celebrate your communion. We celebrate you. Father, we celebrate you. We celebrate your Son. We celebrate your Holy Spirit. We celebrate your word, and we celebrate your church. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone who agreed said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are going to receive the offering this morning, and you kind of touched on this a little bit. You know, we never talk. He never told me about what his message was going to be. Well, he didn't know what it was going to be, but he didn't even tell me about his... The only thing he said to me was, God woke me up in the middle of the night. I changed my message. I said, all right, I'm sure it'll be good. We never discuss stuff. Sometimes people think that, you know, we talk and we plan everything out, and we just don't. We just let the Holy Spirit have his way. But in Psalm 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God takes pleasure when we prosper. If you're a servant of the Most High God, it requires servanthood. It requires praising him, basically selling out. When you serve God with your whole heart, you're doing the things that the Bible says to do. Jesus himself said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will men give unto your bosom. There's a multiplication factor in the kingdom of God. And any Christian can participate in kingdom finance. It's just the way it is. But God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God's looking to bless his people. God wants to help us. God wants to help us in our finances. He wants to bless us. Why? So we can use it all up on ourselves? No, so you can be a blessing. He wants to bless you to be a blessing. And when you prove yourself faithful, he'll give you more. And then you just need to be faithful again. And if you continue to be faithful, God will lead you in paths of prosperity that you have no idea. But you got to start by just being a simple doer of his word, being a servant, sell out to him. Be one of those people. When I became a Christian, like I said, I got radically saved and I just made a decision. Whatever the Bible says and whatever the pastor says, that's what I'm going to do. And I haven't stopped. And I'm glad for it. And God's helped me. He's healed me. He's blessed me. Life is good. Life is not perfect, but life is good. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises that are yes and amen to each one of us as we give this morning. Father, I pray that you would multiply the resources that are sown. You would multiply the seed sown, God, so that there would be abundance and no lack in every person's life who steps out on your word. And Father, I thank you for abundance and no lack in this church, that you meet every need. And we purpose, Father, to be aware and mindful to spend every penny correctly and appropriately to see that your kingdom goes forward. We thank you for sowing and reaping the promises in your word. In Jesus' name, we honor you with our gifts and tithes and offerings this morning. Amen.